congregation's looking a little lopsided. I'll leave it at that. Good morning to you once again, and so glad that you're all here today, and enjoy the selection of music and everything that's going on. The last few weeks I've been kind of pointing a little bit at this colorful chart that's on the side, and you know, a lot of people ask me, well, what is the real purpose of that? And the real purpose behind it is to let us know a little bit more about what we believe. And I really am thankful to the church that they have assembled these articles of faith, which are really points that we can all agree to. Now, we've already talked about the fall and the depravity of man, and I realize that that is a very difficult situation that most people don't even want to comprehend. And we started last week by studying on creation. Well, the one thing is that I wanted us to go back to Genesis chapter 1 today as we look at the other part called the origin of the universe. Now, it's not just creation that we believe in, but if you'll also notice, it says creation of the universe. Now, if there's one thing that I want us to all understand is that when we take a look at God's wonderful plan of creation, I could probably spend days and months and weeks and years and whatever it takes to be able to accomplish this, but we don't want to be dragging our feet forever. And I want you to settle it in your mind that God's creation is true, and what we read from the Scripture is exact and can be exacted. Now, as we go on today, when we put together a PowerPoint for you all to take a look at, so those of you that like auditory and those of you like visual and all of you that like kinesthetic learning, well, we've tried to assemble them all together. And so I want you to see, beginning in Genesis chapter 1, where we're going to be going to today to bring everything together. Let's go down to verse 14. And we're going to be looking at the account of the fourth day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for the signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light, the light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give them, to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Let us pray. Again, Father, I want to thank you so much for your blessings to us and all the care and all the good that you bring. And I know, Father, that we could spend so much time just from your word in the first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis. In fact, Lord, the more we study it, the more amazed we are at what we see. Now, I know, Father, that all across the land, people are going to be preaching all messages. And I pray that, Father, the men that are standing in your pulpit and delivering the word of God as it should be delivered, that we understand and comprehend the truth of it all. I pray, Father, also that you might give me the words to speak this morning, that I would not be in a rush. And I feel this, Father, inside of me. I want to get everything out. But I also understand, Lord, that it has to be in your time frame. So, Lord, keep me in order. Give me clarity of thought. Guide me in all that I do. And may I rejoice in your name. So guide us and bless and keep us now. Open the word and the understanding, and let us rejoice over the magnificence of your creation. For it's in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Now, it's interesting to me that we come to this article that is written, and I know that's in very fine print, but hopefully you'll be able to see it. It says, Article 3. Of our articles of faith, we believe that the Genesis account of creation is to be accepted literally and not figuratively or allegorically. That God created man in his own image and not by or through the process of evolution from lower species. That all animals and vegetable life was likewise directly created and placed under God's inviolable law, and that should bring forth only after their kind. Now make sure, am I turned on there, brother? Yep, okay, I want to make sure. Now, this is what we have in our articles. And if you've not read the articles through, hopefully, step by step, I'll be able to take each one of these and make them real to you. Now, guys, if we had the opportunity, I would love just to be able to sit down and say, okay, who's got this question, who's got that question? And I guarantee you that after a while, we all get to this place where we start asking all kinds of questions. Now, interesting that this morning, of course, we talked about the church, and we taught on the responsibility of baptism, the authority that comes with it, and all of that. But do you realize that the one area that is being attacked all the time is Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And if we don't have this settled in our mind, it's going to always say this. I'll give you an example. How many of you all have ever been challenged with the thought that there must be more than one way into salvation? Let's be honest about it. You know, surely God wouldn't condemn everybody to hell because they rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And yet, even in that thought, how many of us have ever considered that we are making Jesus a liar when he said, only through me can you enter into the kingdom of God? Only through Christ. I am the door. I am the way. I am the light. I am life. I'm eternal. I am the good shepherd. I am the great shepherd. And I am the resurrection. I can go on and on and on. Only through Jesus Christ. Well, the answer or the question that normally comes up by those that reject that notion is, well, what about everybody who heard of Jesus Christ? The responsibility is they have heard. At one time or another, every congregation in this world heard about Jesus Christ, beginning with Noah and his three sons. I can point that to you. What did God say? He spoke so all three of them could hear. He spoke so that they understood the message. And yet there was a rejection of the things of God. Only through Shem was the lineage continued. Only through the Gentiles after Jesus Christ came to this earth. Only to the Gentiles was the attention turned because the Jews rejected the way of Christ. But we are right now on the precipice of seeing creation and God's plan of creation completely ignored. Now, I have a few little trinkets up here. And I noticed my monkey was missing earlier. Come to find out who had my monkey. And the reality is that this is really a great little creature here. It's Super Monkey. Now, I don't know how many of you all know this, but how many of you realize that the monkey played a great big job in the space program? We did not launch, here in America, we did not launch a man into space first. We launched a monkey. And if he couldn't mess it up, I guess men can't mess it up either. But the reality is that's one of the reasons that we have this. And I love going to the Space Symposium. My son, Tony, is Deputy Director. He's got this great big long title, which he works in Space Defense for Space Force, Space Command. And one of the things he does is he also does entry control, in which we go in and we help make sure vendors and people with proper credentials enter into this. And it's amazing to me. I can go through that and I have actually had those goggles on where you kind of looks like you're in real life. And I went to one of the SpaceX symposiums, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking all around, and I'm seeing the space capsule, and I'm seeing the elevator as it rises up, and I'm getting nauseated to my stomach. And then you have to turn, and you push your hand in this way like you're going to go sit down in the space capsule, and you see someone come up and say, stand still while I strap you in. I mean, it is the coolest thing. And a lot of people might look at me and say, we're wasting a lot of money. Why are we going into space? What do we want to know about? Don't we believe the Bible? That's not the point. The point is, there are so many people that are literally launching into space. And what is the reason that they're going into space? The truth of the matter is, they're going into space to know where we came from. How many of y'all knew that? The main reason people are launching and spending so much money in it. How many of you remember that when Gemini came about, that already there were those that were praising the Lord God, and later on when the Apollo capsule circled the moon, how many of you all remember that there was a reading from Genesis chapter 1 about creation? How many of you remember that? And how many of you remember that there was a person in the United States that complained that God's Word was being read from outer space? Later on, there was a Russian that launched into space, and he goes, "I don't see God." And yet, every time we go into space, we say, "Look at the hand of God." What makes the difference? Well, let me show this to you. On the very next slide, and Joe's going to be my slide coordinator here today. Hopefully, he'll be my slide coordinator. There we go. How many of you have ever heard of the Scopes trial? You know, it's sad, but this is not being taught in schools today. But do you know that up to the 1920s, there was never any question whatsoever about what schools would teach? And every school in the United States of America taught that creation was absolutely true. And so the Bible was being read every morning, and so this all occurred. But there happened to be someone who stood up named John Scopes, who was a teacher in Tennessee, and he challenged the teaching of the Bible, and he wanted to teach evolution. Well, the school board heard about it, and they said, "Oh no, we're not having this." And they let go of John Scopes because of the fact that he refused to teach creation. And that led to what we call the Scopes monkey trial, because John Scopes said, "It appears to me that every man, woman, child came from monkey." All the images, everything you see, began with John Scopes. And so Clarence Darrow, that you see over in the middle picture there, Clarence Darrow was a very skilled attorney, lawyer. And quite literally, he was ready to make a monkey out of anybody he could get his hands on. And the one that he came across was William Jennings Bryan. Now, what's interesting, William Jennings Bryan was a self-proclaimed Bible expert. He wasn't a minister, per se. He was a Sunday school teacher. And literally, he was on the defense side. He was defending what we believe about the Bible and things like that. And every time that Clarence Starr would make a point, William Jennings Bryan would get up and he would make this statement. He goes, "Well, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says." So finally, Clarence Starr brought William up on the stage and began to examine him. And quite literally, he made a monkey out of William Jennings Bryan. Now you say, "Well, why was that such a big issue?" Because the issue was, it allowed the door to open up to bring in criticism about the Bible. And I've had so many people come up to me and they say, "Well, you realize that you literally have faith as the basis of your belief." I'm going to let you know right now, faith is the very emphasis, it is the beginning, it is the foundation of what I hold to. But what they will not let you know, those that hold the evolution, they want you to accept that what they're presenting is fact, and it's not. It's not fact. And so, reality is, we have to understand these things in order to defend ourselves. It used to be we could just stand up in our classrooms and teach the Bible, and that would be the end of it. Now, we're fighting for our very existence. And if you think that it's just in science, no, let me tell you something. Our history books start off billions of years ago, and they call that history. And then they turn around in science, billions of years ago, and they want to teach it as a fact. It is nothing but a theory. Now, there's a difference between a theory and a fact. A theory is something that is proposed, and it takes literally time and more time and more time to figure it out. And when it becomes a fact, it will literally have no doubt whatsoever about its truth. Well, if you'll notice, it only can remain a theory in evolution because they have to keep moving the time frames. And it's like this. All you have to do is ask this question. Where did oxygen come from? Where did the first molecule come from? Where did the stars come from? Where did this come from? Where did that come from? And literally, every evolutionist just has to keep going back and back and back and changing the method all the time. Why do you think that they want to go back millions and millions and millions of years, billions even? Because they cannot prove even the local time. Can't do it. Now, we as Christians have to be careful that we don't generate a false bit of information. Now, people might say, well, why are you looking at space? Because I see the hand of God in everything about it. Now, one of the things we're going to be looking at as we go in, and next slide, please, is what is it that we really ought to understand about what's going on in this world? This is what the world wants you to believe. That we evolved. Do you realize that these images were first presented by Clarence Darrow and John Scopes and saying, well, this is how we know that man came about. A lie that was perpetrated all the way back in the 1920s is still with us today. How many of you have ever seen anything similar to this in school? I remember when I was in grade school that they never presented this. Because really, when I was in early grade school, we always started the day with the Bible. We always started the day with prayer. We always started the day with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And there was a great respect for the things of God. But watch this. We closed the Bible. Anymore, and they open the floodgates for evolution to be taught. And when I first started off in school, it said it is still. Go back and look at your old science books. Go look at your old history books. It is theorized. Now, what are they teaching? We know. You don't know anything. And so, quite literally, everyone wants to complain about what the whole element is all about. Next slide, please. So when you think about it, we have the greatest question about this information. Notice it says, attacking one area of creation opened the floodgates for criticism of all creation, and one of the great questions concerns the universe. How many of you have ever had this question posed to you? Well, how... trillions of years of age. Anyone ever had that posed to you? And the reality is that when that question comes off, we are suddenly jumping through hoops trying to find an answer. And there are many scientists that have worked upon this solution. And really, if you think about it, the Bible teaches us. So let me just show you this right at the top. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I had someone ask me one time, they said, well, where did that light come from? I said, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Do you realize God does not need the sun hung out in the space to give us light? God called forth light, and light exists. And as soon as God calls for light, guys, let me tell you what, darkness cannot stand anywhere near the light of God. But God did so in order to establish the pattern and the purpose of His Word. Now, what is interesting, after He created the earth, after He had already created the light, which separated the light and the darkness, then the next thing we see is the very next day He created and separated the firmaments and the waters and things of this nature, and going on and on and on. We're not going to go through all of it right now. But God created it. Now, we believe in the infinite power of God, do we not? If God is so infinite, and if we believe in this, then why are we afraid to confront the truth of creation? Now, there's a lot of compelling evidence that they want to bring up to you. And they come up with this thing called carbon 14. How many of you remember that? Carbon dating. And immediately when they come upon carbon dating, they said, now, we know that carbon dating is true because this rock is 7 billion years of age. Really? How'd you come up with that? Well, we know that this rock is 7 billion years of age because we found this fossil, and we know this fossil is already 7 billion years of age. Well, how do you know this fossil is 7 billion years of age? Well, we tested it, and we found it next to this rock, which is 7 billion years of age, therefore it has to be the same. What they've done is they have created a false timeline, and they expect you to swallow it. But the reality is that we live in a very young planet and they live in a very young environment. Now, what was funny is yesterday as we were driving home, Dennis and Kristen and Kennedy were all in one car, and I looked at Kennedy and I said, you see this place over here? I said, cemetery. People are just dying to get in there. Now, while we think it's funny, can you imagine if this earth was billions of years of age and we had all that death? You couldn't walk one square inch without stepping on a fossil. How many of you know that? The fossil record does not support even what they're trying to present to us. So with that in mind, one of the things we look at is the same question about where is life and how does it go on? Brother Joe, next slide, please. So when we take a look at the very next slide, we want to know this question. Where is the center of the universe? Look what it says. It is important that we understand and believe in the six-day creation for the lies of Satan. For the lies of Satan, though proven over and over to be false, continue to exist. Now, I want to show this to you. If I was to tell the average person that the center of our galaxy, not necessarily of our universe, if I was to tell them that the center of our galaxy is the Earth, they would mock. And I will tell you that there's even some within our own Christian circles, in our own churches of like faith and order, when I say the Earth is the center of our galaxy, they will mock us. And they go, no, the sun is the center. Now, wait a minute. Was the earth made for the sun or was the sun made for the earth? Answer that question. The earth already existed. And if you think about it, God had already taken the earth and he formed it. And when he formed it, he already started spinning. And as the earth was beginning to spin, he had already created a day. Had he not? Nod your heads up and down. Very good. And so he created the day, and so as the earth was already spinning on its axis, you have night, you have day. You have night, you have day. Evening and morning was the first day. Then he separated the waters. And as said at the end, he put the firmament above, the firmament beneath, and he also put the firmament on the surface. Again, the second day. And we go on and on and on. And the earth keeps right on rotating because the day is a day. But then comes the next part. If the earth is so important, why then? I mean, this is a picture taken from Pluto, which they're now saying is not a planet. It just blew me away. All these years I've been taught there were nine planets on our solar system, and then they said, well, no, Pluto's not a planet. I said, well, what is it? Well, it's a subplanet. I said, well, how do you know it's a subplanet? Because it's not a planet. And who came up with that plan? Does it circle the earth? Or does it circle the sun? Yes. Is it in line? Is it a subplanet? Because somebody in their great intelligence decided it was a subplanet. And so many churches, on the other hand, have compromised their faith or argued without knowledge. So here's what they do is they say, well, you know, universe is the sun, and we agree that it is. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't say that in Scripture. Next slide for me, please. Notice that the next part of the slide says this. Some churches have compromised, and because they don't even understand that the earth is the center of our galaxy and the universe, if you want to get down to it, they have directly accepted the evolutionary theory. Look at number one. Death did not begin with Adam and the fall. Now think about this. Because the churches have a hard time understanding evolution, they have accepted that everything came about because of death. If they turn around and they say evolution is true, then that means that they say, well, how do you explain that there were dinosaurs? You got the dinosaur period. And you know what was funny is I remember this, is that I was watching one of the programs on TV, I don't know if it was a History Channel or what, or one of the Discovery Channels, and they turned around and they said, well, we're going to go through all the dinosaur periods. And they said, during this millions of years was this dinosaur. And during this millions of years was this dinosaur. And during this millions of years was this dinosaur. And they went on and on and on. And as each one of those died away, then finally came this one creature that had fur upon its back. Boy, here was the first bird that had some feathers on its back. And as each one of these things came about, they turned around and they said, see, this is process of evolution. They don't tell you that they created those creatures out of imagination, not out of anything that's real. And by the way, do you know that half the fossils that they have discovered, they now know were created using bits and pieces of other creatures? They didn't have a complete fossil, so they created something. In fact, I just read an interesting article, and I should have saved it. But what was interesting was that this one archaeologist discovered this one sea-going creature, and he had it on display for everybody to look at. Then they realized he had put the head where the tail was supposed to be. He had created the creature backwards. He became the laughingstock. Also, a day is declared by God as greater than the 24-hour period. How many of you have ever heard of that? Well, we don't know how long a day really is. And then instead of it being 24 hours, they turn around and they say it could be an innumerable amount of time, but they won't even give you a definition of what that amount of time is supposed to be. Churches have now taught this. How many of you all know James Dobson? Do you know James Dobson held on to evolutionary creation? And the one person that challenged him on his belief was a man by the name of Ken Ham. And Ken Ham asked him on the Dobson radio program, he said, if it's not 24 hours, then what is it? And he goes, well, I don't know. He said, therefore you fought into the lie of Satan. And I think it really floored Dobson. He said, because if 24 hours is not a day, then the whole rest of Scripture is a lie. Let this sink in. Look what else it has. Death was a process in which man was not divinely created by God, but that man was a process of evolution. You know, brother, I'll tell you what, you sure look like a monkey to me. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? The reality is, and this is where John Huxley came about, it goes against our moral. Man has been given these responsibilities and these boundaries by the things of God. You know, how many times, and I will tell you, there was a singer by the name of Ray Bolts. How many of you have not heard of Ray Bolts? He wrote so many beautiful songs, and he was a great singer. One day, Ray Bolts stood up and said, I'm gay. A Christian man stood up and said, I'm gay. And there was, all the rest of the world was like, you've got to be kidding me. And yet there were some of those who went, oh, poor Ray. He's just confused. He doesn't really know his background. No, the reality is he spoke away from the boundaries of even the Word of God. God set a boundary. Man, woman, together. Don't let me. Man or woman with Satan? Because she was enticed to eat of the fruit. Why didn't he go to Adam first? Because Satan knew there was something about Eve that was demanded upon Adam to protect her, and he didn't do it. Just as Satan challenged Eve in the garden, the truth of God is brought into question. Oh! It doesn't matter. It does matter. Either we serve an all-powerful God, an all-correct God, or we don't. Next slide, please. And notice what also it says in this particular verse. This leads to many questions also in the teachings of Genesis 1-3. Keep going. The institution of marriage. Next. The fall and its effect. Next. The truth of God, including the promise of a Savior. Next. And the order of man and woman. By the way, let me just tell you this, and I've already had this discussion with some people. God's order has always been instruction to the man, not to the woman. And that goes against a lot of people. Well, you mean to tell me there's no such thing as women preachers? And let me just tell you something, ladies. No disrespect, but you cannot be the husband of one wife unless you are in the gay community. And that goes against the very conditions that God has established. Next slide, please. Notice again, and this one is the thing that I get. And this is where the criticism occurs. So many people turn around and they say, well, wait a minute. The earth cannot be the center of the universe. Anyone here ever play darts? I got pretty good when I was in England. And I could get to a place to where I've never had what they call a three-round game, nine-dart game. But you can do it. It's a 3-0-1 game. It's flying on, flying off. And you double off. And so a lot of people think, well, the center is the most important part of the dartboard. It's not. The center is the hardest part of the dartboard to hit. The reality is that triple ring is the one area that's there. So look at this first slide. So the first one that we see on this one, go ahead and hit the next button there. All right. The center is often considered the most valuable, but it's only worth 50 points. Now, there are other areas that are a lot more valuable. Next slide, please. And notice what we have. First of all, we have the triple ring, which has values of 60, 57, 54, and 51, all greater than the center. Pretty cool, huh? If you hit double 20, or triple 20, excuse me, that's going to be 60 points. Everybody wants to try to hit that triple 20, me included. And then you go to 19, which is 57, 18, which is 54, and go down to 17, which is 51, all greater than the bullseye in the middle. You say, well, what's the point? Next slide, please. So consider the earth in creation, but not necessarily of the highest value. First slide we see here is the earth. How many of you all like the earth? You better, because if we didn't have the earth, we wouldn't be here. I mean, let's put it this way. We enjoy the earth, and by the way, we do have a responsibility to keep it up. We ought to keep it clean. We ought to take care of it. Now, I don't say we need to go as crazy as, we'll leave that alone. But we know that there's a lot of people in this world that they have really gone overboard with the earth. But think about this. The highest value of the earth, next point for me, if you will. God made the planet a living planet. I saw this the other day and it said, is the earth a living planet? It's a living planet. Do you realize that by it being a living planet, it gives life to vegetation? This summer, I got to eat several meals with Greg and Carla and also with Dennis and Krista. But I loved it when Carla made that fresh corn, fresh tomatoes, fresh green beans. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I am so glad evolution has brought about these beans. I'm so glad that evolution has brought around this corn. No, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it? The earth brings forth her abundance. And next week we're going to be singing songs about how we are thankful to God for the abundance that God has supplied. First, the grain is in the ear. And we think about all those beautiful songs that we sing for Thanksgiving. And do you realize the pilgrims, when they came to America, they were not farmers. They were not farmers. And got a clue about farming. I'll leave that story out for next week. But Squanto's come in and showed them how to plant corn. And by the way, I want to do that sometime. I want to learn how to plant the three sisters, which is the beans, the corn, and the squash. And we're going to do that, Ethan, you and me. I mean, we got this plan. Next slide, please. Okay? God created man in his own image. This is the truth. Now, God didn't make us old from the beginning. He was young, and we have that young and that viral look about us and things of this nature. I mean, that's the beauty of it. God created man in his image, and he goes, hello. And then he gave him a woman, and he called her Eve. Next point. Only with God did man commit himself to saving. If evolution is true, why did God have to wait millions of years to send Jesus Christ to this earth? If evolution is true, then you really don't need Genesis chapter 3 because death has already occurred. But because the fall is placed in line, then look what happens after that. I will send a redeemer. I will send myself to redeem you, and I will pay the price. Next point. Not only that, only did man did Jesus Christ die for. I love Hebrews chapter 1, where it says, and he was created a little lower than the angels. Come on, think about this. Can you imagine the angels as they watched the birth of Jesus? Come on, let this sink in for a moment. Here comes Gabriel, and he says to Mary, blessed art thou amongst women. You are going to have a child of the Holy Ghost. you're going to become impregnated. And Mary goes, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? With man it's impossible, with God all things are possible. And then comes Mary, bearing forth the Christ. And when he is born, where did the angels go? To the shepherd. The dirtiest, the lowest, the vilest men upon the earth. And suddenly goes, I have good news. On this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The message. Why was that so important? Because all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve fell. With Adam came the fall. And now there was the promise of a Redeemer. Push onward 2,000 years, and here comes the blessed event. Or 4,000 years, excuse me. 4,000 years, and here came the blessed event. Jesus came, and he only came for man. Do you realize Satan and his angels who fell from heaven, who were cast out, have no hope of redemption? But we have given that hope of redemption. To me, that's exciting stuff. Look at the next one. And not only that, but consider, only with the redeemed will Jesus come back for. If the plan of God is not real, then why is Jesus coming back? There would be no need for coming back. There would be no need. I mean, we all might as well die. We're just animals. And the very next slide, I like this. And think about it. A day occurs when the earth rotates that one time around. God said, okay, let's start with a day. A very simplistic day. The next part. Look at this. And I love this one as well. Then comes the sun. How many of you value the sun? Is it a greater value than the earth? Everyone's like, oh no, I'm afraid to answer that question. Reality is that we better value it. It gives us warmth, it gives us light, and does a whole lot more. It helps the plants change that with photosynthesis over into oxygen. Look at the points that I put down on this one. And it says, the sun is often considered the greatest value since it gives warmth and light to the earth. Next one. And it says, the sun is the gravitational center of the galaxy. It really is. Next one. And notice what we find here. It says the earth takes a year to circle the sun, thus making, or it takes a year, 362 days. It takes that amount of time for it to go around the sun, thus creating the year. But the earth was already making a day before the sun ever came into place. Look at the next one. Then we have the moon. What's the value of the moon? Look what it says here. It says God gave the moon to the earth to provide tidal action and keeps the oceans clean. Anyone ever been, if you ever go to California, you can really see the tidal actions. I mean, it is amazing how much rise and fall occurs because of the moon. And of course, we know about tidal waves. We also know about the rising of the tide and the setting of the tide if you've ever been on the ocean. It all helps keep the waters clean. Next one. Notice also we see here that the moon rotates around the earth every 28 days, making for a month. After that, the evidence of the moon has also provided evidence for the flood. Wait till we get into that part. All right, next slide. So these are the week. This is the week. And if you look at it, we have day one, day two. This is the creation week as it was put in order. 6 days did God create, the seventh day he rested. So, we know where the day came from. We know where the year came from. We know where the month came from. What gives us a week? God gives it. The only answer is God gives it. Next slide, please. And so, with that in mind, we are called, by the way, we're looking at the heavens. Man, it's already that late. Keep going. Notice what it says. We're going to be looking at Shamayim, which is the Hebrew for heaven, and forgive me if I've mispronounced it. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, per se. But there are three heavens in the book of Genesis. The first one we are actually shown, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you realize that God created his heaven? This is a sort of an image of what we find from the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verses 1 through the end of the chapter, which gives us the detail of what it looked like at the throne of heaven. Go ahead and click on the next one. Notice what it says. The first heaven mentioned in God's heaven was made more visible to us in Revelation 4. Next slide. The second heaven is given to us in the form of the canopy. And I want you to see what it says in Genesis 1, 6 through 8. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it be divided, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. That's the second heaven. How many of you realize that? So you have God's heaven. And by the way, it's the same word, Shemayim. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Go ahead, next slide, please. But we must remember that on day one, the light was separated from darkness, and God, and darkness was not called heaven. Now, can you imagine that? Here's the thing. How many of us can envision this? We can't. Unless you go into a cave somewhere. Anyone ever been in a cave? And they turn the lights on in the cave? It's eerie. It is flat out eerie. And I mean, it can be so black and so dark. And I've actually worked in dark rooms. And I used to do photographs and things of this nature. And having that complete darkness while you're trying to work on the film is pretty amazing in itself. But to be in a dark cave or something like that, and all the lights go out, and they just kind of look at it. There's one, if you ever get a chance, go up to Ruby Falls in Tennessee, and they take you down to the falls, and they turn off the light. Bunch of idiots. But then, suddenly, God brought light. And it went from this, next slide, to this. Now, isn't that cool? That's what I love about it. See, that we can imagine. Anyone ever been outside on a starry night? Oh, isn't it pretty? I mean, you look outside. I've actually been up, high up in the mountains and looking at not only the Milky Way, but all the stars. And no city lights or anything to disrupt it. You've got nothing but the skies above. And it's beautiful. No mosquitoes either. Wonderful thing. But watch this. The next slide, please. This is the one I want you to see. So the greatest criticism of creation model concerns light and the great distance that is there. So I have here a light. Don't worry, I got more. Going back here. Now, how many of you all saw that go across? You want I knew Gracie would want it next. How many of you all realize that you see this, and when you saw it go into his hands, your eyes followed it all the way to his hands. The existence of light. Very good. Holy cow. Was that a left-handed throw? I'll get that later. Oh, it's all the way. But do you realize that when it comes to light, what we see is where is the origin of that light? Where did it begin? Brother, if you'll throw it up here, Gracie wanted me to see if she could take my head off. Do you realize that light has an origin? It's from the origin. If God called that light way out here, then yes, I can understand the criticism coming back. But if that light starts from the earth, and watch this, and I love this verse. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 1. In verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. How many of you have ever seen the Big Dipper? How many of you realize that as the earth rotates, the Big Dipper follows along in the rotation? Have you ever watched it? And if you haven't, I'll show it to you sometime. How many of you have found a lion's belt? How many of you have ever seen other constellations that only come up during once a year, the month in which they come into place? Did you know that those were placed by God in their position for signs and seasons and for helping us determine the year? I want you to know this. Many years ago, I used to teach celestial navigation. And it is still a real thing. B-52s still do celestial navigation. If everything fails inside, they've got a window that they can open up and they can look for the North Star. And as long as they know where the North Star is, they know where they're going. Celestial navigation. I know you're impressed. But those lights that we see, did not happen. God didn't place him from there. He started at the point of origin, which is the earth, and he sent them into their place. We're seeing the light as it goes from the earth out to its place. Well, I know. It impressed me. I don't know about you. And notice this. And let them be for light for the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. So God said, from the earth. Lights for the earth. Lights for the earth. And it was so. Guys, let me just tell you something. Didn't that look a little bit like Kennedy? Anyway, next picture. And so light was not placed in the location and sent to the earth, but from the earth was set into space and in their place. So the very next verse, look at the next part. And so we had the scriptural evidence for it. I wrote them up here so that you can see it. And by the way, you're more than welcome to take a look at each one of these. And notice it says, he telleth the number of stars and he calleth them by their names. Psalms 147, verse 4. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night. He calleth for the waters of the sea, and he poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Amos 5:8. Canst thou, buying the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bonds of Orion? Job 38:31. By the way, that was God asking Job that very question. Which maketh Arcturus, and Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south? Job 9:9. Next one, please. And notice also it says in chapter 8, of Psalms, and it reads this: O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy with the avenger. And when I consider the heavens, and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. He put them there for a purpose. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands, and to put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. And by the way, that verse saved a man's life and gave him a purpose to map out the channels of the sea. More on that later. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Next one. Even Israel is identified with the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee and the earth? How many of you knew that was in the scriptures? Every little thing has a purpose. And I know we've gone a lot into this. It's been already a long morning. But let me just say this. The origin of our universe is all in the origin of creation. And while we could go more and more into creation, the glory of the Lord demonstrates His victory all over again. So while we've had this morning, let me ask you, do you truly have faith in the Lord our God? Do you trust Him? Do you believe in Him? Or are you still doubting within yourself, saying, how can these things be true? I'd love to spend more time with you. And if you'd like to know more about the scriptures or anything like that, it's not a matter of browbeating. It's a matter of study so that we might grow in grace together. Father, thank you again for your mercies. Now bless us as we dismiss from the services today, and guide and bless us now. In Christ we pray. Amen. Brother Randy, if you will, please come. And we'll conclude in our